James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
He's always mistakenly British.
Tea crumpets.
Cheerio.
But he's really a Canuck. Known on all seven continents.
Oh, I know who you are.
America's undocumented anchorman. He's a recording star and a TV star. Tuesdays, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, presents Mark Stein.
This is so wrong. I shouldn't even be here.
Mark Stein.
You make the best Scandinavian schoolgirl I've ever heard, James. That's fantastic. You are in the wrong body. You should start transitioning. That you make a fantastic Scandinavian schoolgirl.
Yeah, I just got to get my ponytail action together. It'll be.
Yeah, I think they're like, are they pigtails? I think they're Pippi Longstocking type pigtails she has. I can't stand her. I mean, I can take anything in these ghastly, eco activists, but, being told, how dare you, by some obnoxious Swedish schoolgirl, I'd rather have Leonardo DiCaprio. I can't tell the difference. But, oh, God, there's that.
I shouldn't be up here.
Yeah, you're right. You should
be back in school.
Yeah, you should be back in school.
Ocean.
Yes, you should be.
Yet you all come to us young people.
No, I don't.
Hope.
No.
How dare you?
I don't go to
you
anybody.
You've stolen my dreams.
No,
my
I haven't.
With your empty words.
Your childhood's better than any generation in human history, you twit. You just played my friend, the great Alan Jones from Sydney.
Is that
little,
who that is?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Alan Jones is like the Rush of Australia, and he was just terrific. I love this whole environment. Whenever I say anything, I don't think this climate change, I don't think we need to worry about it quite as much. Well, what do you know? Are you a climate scientist? No, but my friend here, he won a Nobel Prize in physics. Ah, yes, but it was just physics in general. It wasn't climate science, was it? Unless you're a climatologist, you have no right to speak on this subject. And then Greta Thunberg comes along. Hello. Ooh, I left school at 8 years old. But everybody seems to think I'm the world's greatest genius on the environment. Admittedly, she was in a Swedish school until she was 8 years old, which I think is the equivalent of doing up to grade 37 or whatever it is in the Washington, D.C. school system. I love all that. Oh, if you're not a climate scientist, how dare you speak? And then, oh, look at this little Swedish schoolgirl. This is the best thing these sinister globalists have come up with, because, all these other guys they put up as the sinister globalists, like Klaus Schwab, the German mastermind, are obviously people you'd want to steer well clear of. But then this, like, little eight-year-old, I'm a little eight-year-old Swedish schoolgirl with pigtails. Well, then, when I want to know about rising sea levels in the Maldives in the 22nd century, I want a reliable eight-year-old schoolgirl to tell me. That's what I'm looking for.
Just love it. Mark, you have been a subject of the Queen your entire life.
That's true.
Have you not?
I have until whatever it was 4 days ago. And to be honest, I would have been quite happy to remain a subject of the Queen for another 20, 30, 40 years, but sometimes with constitutional monarchy, it comes to an end and you have to endure a somewhat less satisfactory monarch. That's the nature of the system.
What do you think her legacy will be?
Well, I think she presided. I mean, she came to the throne when Harry Truman was in the White House. She got to know President Eisenhower when he was General Eisenhower during the Second World War. That's ancient history to most Americans, but it's slightly less ancient in Her Majesty's dominions because she's the continuity. It's an incredible thing, 7 decades. But, you know, the nature of the system is the Queen is dead, long live the King. Everything changes in a minute. And it was very shocking to me, actually, that statement from Buckingham Palace that said the Queen passed away this afternoon. The King and the Queen Regent will remain at Balmoral and return to London. And you suddenly, wait a minute, the King and the Queen Regent. And I'm thinking, I've been so used to America, where you have the peaceful transition of power for 3 months, so that gives the deep state enough time to screw over the incoming President Trump or whoever it is. It's a brilliant system. Yeah, absolutely. It's a brilliant system, that. So I'm a little stunned because I've been in New Hampshire so long. I'm thinking, well, why isn't he the king elect for 3 months while the deep state planned to screw him over? But no, everything changes in seconds. And then fellas in London and in Ottawa and in Hamilton, Bermuda, and in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea, the Garter King of Arms and the Canadian Chief Herald come out and read these proclamations announcing that some entirely new fellow is now the head honcho. And that's it. There's no 3 month transition. It all just changes in a couple of minutes.
And Harry is now back in the fold, at least momentarily. And it looks like everybody's kissed and made up, at least for the show of the until the funeral.
Well,
do you expect
that
to continue?
No, I don't. I don't really, because I think, you know, she's ill suited for that role. Because the thing is, if you're a younger son, you spend your entire life getting less important. So if you're someone like Prince Edward, who's the Queen's youngest child, you're born youngest son. So he was born third in line to the throne. And then his brothers start having kids and their kids start having grandkids. And so you become third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, 12th, 37th. In line. You spend your whole life getting less and less important. And she doesn't understand that. It's a rather, it requires a sort of self-effacement that is not really compatible with being a rather zealous celebrity, which is what apparently her preference is. So I think that's, I don't think that's likely to end happily, but it's not, you know, nobody. It was interesting to me the coolness on the streets of when she and Kate and William and Harry went out on the streets. There was a marked coolness towards her. People don't forget easily what she's done.
Now, this Carnegie Mellon professorette who's just filled with hate. Look, I understand people have political differences with Great Britain and with the way that the colonial powers have operated in the world. But to wish the Queen excruciating death and pain, and yeah, then for the Carnegie Mellon folks to say, freedom of speech, I don't know whether I would ever feel comfortable. If I was someone that was considering Carnegie Mellon as an institution of learning, I don't even know whether I'd feel comfortable. What kind of people are these?
Well, you're paying six-figure sums to have your kids taught by morons. The reality of human history, I mean, she might not like the British Empire, but it's not a choice between imperialism and no imperialism. For the most of human history, it's a choice of which imperialism do you get. Right now, people like China, Russia, Iran think as conventional imperialist powers. They prosecute world affairs in their own strategic interest, and that means that they're not trammeled by fancy ideas about, you know, going forth in cause of some pure ideology. We're only doing that in the West because we're dying, because we're screwed, because we basically are committing the most expensive civilizational suicide in history. So we've chosen to go down the toilet and drag the most advanced civilization in the world down. That's basically what Alan Jones was. Alan Jones is saying to Greta Thunberg, what the hell are you on about? You have a better life than almost anybody has ever lived, and you think that the West is the problem. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And whatever comes after the West, Greta Thunberg and maybe this Carnegie Mellon professor too will be young enough to live with the consequences of their own narcissism, which is what this is. Look, the British Empire has got pluses and minuses, but in all its core areas, you look at the dominant regional powers anywhere on Earth. At one point or another, they were all under the British crown. Right. You look at the most the countries with the highest GDP per capita. I forget what it's like. 14 out of 20 are current or former realms of Her Late Majesty the Queen. It's not about imperialism versus this fluffy unicorn landscape where there's nothing bad, where you're ruled by Greta the Munificent. You've got a choice, right now you've got a choice between letting China take over the world or America waking up and the rest of the West and stop this civilizational self-loathing, which is psychologically unhealthy. America is actually destroying itself. It's criminalizing political opposition. And we're all going to be going off the cliff. In fact, it's a waste of time arguing the merits of constitutional monarchy versus a constitutional republic, because we're actually all heading for the rubble at the bottom of the cliff, and it'll seem a stupid argument when we slam into the bottom of the cliff and we're all blown into a thousand smithereens. And this stupid Carnegie Mellon professor is a symbol of the decadent narcissism of end phase civilization.
Mark, I want to ask you if you can hold on through the break. I want to play Harris Faulkner if you can.
I love Harris. I'm always happy to stay on for her.
Okay, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. James Golden, a.k.a. Stern, we got a break. We'll be right back. Mark Stein's going to stay around, and I want you all to hear what's coming. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
WABC. I saw him in London, of all places, at Wembley Stadium just 2 weeks ago. WABC Talk Radio 77, James Golden. Mark Stein is still with us, thankfully. Mark, we have breaking news. Our princess Di, texted me during the break. Ken Starr has passed away, complications to surgery.
Oh, that's very sad. I can't claim to have known him well. I met him half a dozen times over the years. He had a great childlike face and the most fantastic smile. And I remember once just being on a panel with Ken, and he was asked some very serious lawyerly questions, and he responded in a lawyerly way. And of course, I'm the complete opposite. And so I just made some cheap joke, pulled some low-hanging fruit. And the thing about it, I glanced at Ken, and he had this sort of beatific, genuinely innocent, childlike smile on his face. He was trashed by the Clinton people.
Yep.
Into being, he was supposedly this ferocious, him singing crazy fundamentalist who thought that everybody else was we were all just godless fornicators and we're going to burn in hell. And it all sort of washed off him. He didn't care about that at all. He was actually, so they trashed him. They turned him into this hate figure. And it made me realize actually just what the media and the Democrats can do when they're really determined, because he was the nicest guy. He was the cuddliest guy. He was a big, smiley, beaming faced guy. And they made him out to be a monster.
Ken Starr, dead. And ladies and gentlemen, I mentioned Kyrus Faulkner earlier, and Mark graciously agreed to stay so we can listen to this together. She was on that panel show that she does on Fox. And she talked about two things. Immigration was one of them, but she also talked about this story that came out yesterday of the lawyers for the terrorists that remain at Gitmo, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, trying to make plea deals with the prosecutors. And this is what Harris Faulkner said.
I know that I can't speak for every military family out there, but I'll speak for mine. I am truly sorry to all of them that we as a sovereign nation can't continue to act like one. Mm-hmm. That's the second time this hour that I have said that. Mm-hmm. It's about the border. It's about this issue. If we don't know what justice looks like when Americans are killed, are we then, Lily, you put it so beautifully, are we then really a sovereign nation? Do we really, really love the citizens of this great nation? We have a president who hates at least half of them. How do we know? Because he keeps telling us.
Right.
So what about those military families whose children went to war because of what happened, who willingly went and gave their lives, blood and treasure from America, after we were hit? Hmm. They will never be the same. Those families who lost their children, and those men and women who are forever damaged from serving that war. What do we say to them when we say, well, make a deal for these guys who took more than 3,000 lives of Americans in this country on American soil? What do we say to those military families?
Yeah.
We gave up. We got tired. We liked liberalism in our justice system better than we love you. I'm dying to know.
I have never, Mark, heard Harris speak like that.
Well, Harris is speaking there from the heart. She often talks about growing up as a military brat, where you move from base to base. And because you're not growing up in the same town, it's instead the institution, the military, that become your family. I have to say that's heartfelt. It's a betrayal of the soldiers, but it's important to remember that this is a betrayal of the soldiers by the brass. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, people will know him as the very hairy-backed jihadist, extremely hirsute, looks a bit like John Belushi. He was captured, I well remember this, March the 1st, 2003. So for any Welshman, that's St. David's Day. It's your national holiday. March 1st, 2003, that is now 19 and a half years ago. It is twice as long as the First World War and the Second World War combined. And the United States of America cannot prosecute and convict a warmonger who planned an act of war that killed nearly 3,000 Americans on September the 11th. September the 11th, 2001. It's now September whatever, 2022. They're still going through their appeal. It's not that these guys are seeking an appeal. It's that this whole dirty, rotten, stinking, corrupt pseudo-justice system is ready to do a deal with them, in which, by the way, they will receive so-called treatment for the alleged torture they have suffered. These five guys are likely to be out and walking around whatever delightful part of Afghanistan they happen to prefer well before, you know, some of these January 6th guys are walking around. That's how sick the pseudo-justice system in this country is. But Harris is quite right. What's the point of sending two, three generations of Americans and others, indeed, to run around the Hindu Kush to die year in, year out in godless bits of sod, worthless, some of the most worthless bits of sod on the planet. If you capture the head honcho, he's also the guy who sliced off the head of Daniel Pearl, by the way, you can't even prosecute. You've had 20 years. And now, after 20 years, you think, oh, well, yeah, we don't really think we can bring this one in, so we're gonna cop a plea. It's pathetic. Americans should be the war is lost. The war is lost at home and abroad, because the people who were running it, starting with these buffoon chiefs of staff like Thoroughly Modern Millie, with all his medals from his shoulder to his scrotum, I have no idea what they are for. In a country that takes 20 years to lose a war to goat herds with fertilizer, they should raise the Pentagon, salt the earth, and move the Joint Chiefs of Staff to a strip mall on the edge of Cleveland or wherever.
Brilliant. As always, Mark, what a pleasure. Sanity prevails. Mark, we missed you so much.
Well, I don't think – I feel very sorry about this, and I fully understand. Saddest thing, a couple of days after the fall of Kabul last year, I drove down I-89 from Vermont to New Hampshire, and there were signs over the bridges from fellow veterans mourning one of their own who'd committed suicide after the fiasco in Afghanistan. Harris is quite right. Every military family should be. Well, what's it? We fought and bled and died for 20 years so Khalid Sheikh Mohammed could cop a plea. It's pathetic.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. James Golden, a.k.a. Snurly, with you. Mark Stein. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this.
Y'all know what the day is, right? I said, do y'all know what today is? Today is Taco Tuesday!